What's up, Blake? How we doing? Woo! Yeah, awesome. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Ryan Clark. I am one of the leaders for the soon-to-be 7th grade Richardson One boys right there. Awesome. Those guys are awesome. And then I'm also married to my wife, Catherine. She's on staff at Watermark. And so today we're going to be talking about Psalm 23. But before we do that, I just wanted to paint a picture for you guys of that message. So who's a fan of college football in the room? Yeah, I love college football. I love the sport. I love the crowd noise. It is awesome. And I went to Texas A&M University, and one of the opponents of Texas A&M is LSU, and their stadium is called Death Valley. And the reason it's called Death Valley is because the fans are wild. There are 100,000 people in that stadium just causing chaos, yelling at the top of their lungs. I think there's some pictures up there too. But their job as they go through the game is to rattle the opponent, strike fear into them, do everything that they can to make them mess up. And there was even a game a couple years back where LSU scored a touchdown and they literally caused an earthquake at the stadium because of how loud and chaotic that environment was. And just to give y'all a better understanding of what that environment looks like, there's a video up on the screen. So we're gonna go ahead and show that now. So I don't know if y'all heard, but there was even a full band playing there, and the crowd was just over all of it. And I even got to go to a game there, and just the noise was insane. And the reason I give that image to you guys is because while many of us may not be at the Death Valley Stadium in Louisiana, many of us can live a life that feels like that, loud, chaotic, full of darkness, feeling like people are just going after you, trying to make you mess up in life. And so I ask that to ask this question. What do you run to? When you're in the midst of those dark times, when you go through struggles in life, what is your response? Often when we face hard times, we run away from the Lord. That's our first instinct as humans. And so I just ask you to ponder that question before we get into the message. What do you run to in the midst of dark times? And so that leads me into the first three points before we get into the text. God leads us to rest. God provides in the midst of evil. And God establishes our steps. Those are the three main things that we'll be talking about. And so before we dive into the text, I wanted to give a little bit of context on Psalm 23 and what it's about. So Psalm 23 was written by David. And at this time, many people believe that he was the king of Israel. And as the king of Israel, he could basically do just about anything he ever wanted, tell about anyone what to do. But even in that high power level, he was a shepherd before that. And a shepherd was looked at as the lowest on the totem pole, one of the worst jobs that you could have given to the youngest member of the family. But this is all about how the Lord is our good shepherd and how David, even as the king of Israel, saw his need for someone to lead him and guide him as a shepherd does for their sheep. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and just read all of Psalm 23. It's only 6 verses. I'm going to go ahead and read the text. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Awesome. So now that we've read that, we can go ahead and get into the first point. God leads us to rest. So the first thing that I noticed when reading this is in verse 1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't see the Lord as someone who is just looking down on all of us and telling us what to do. He sees a personal relationship with the Lord who is guiding all of his steps along the way. And it's awesome to think that we can have that same personal relationship with the Lord, even greater than what David experienced because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And also, like I talked about earlier, he was the king of Israel. He could have done just about anything he wanted, but he also saw that he could never be fully self-sufficient and do everything the right way, the way that God wanted him to. He saw his need for a shepherd. And so I think it's cool to see that he talks about the Lord leading him down green pastures, leading him beside still waters, restoring his soul. He couldn't do that on his own. He needed the Lord to do that in his life. And also, when it's referencing the sheep do not always know what is best and when they need rest. And the same applies to us. We need the Lord in our lives to lead us down those right paths, to help us in each and every moment of our lives to do the right things and to lead a life where we are following Christ. And for me, what that's looked like in moments where I don't know how to rest or don't know what to do in those moments, it looks like stopping what I'm doing, spending time in prayer, bringing others in to pray for me in those moments, and even spending time in the Word and meditating on words like this so that I can truly find rest in the Lord regardless of the circumstances. So going off of that, that leads us into the next point. God provides in the midst of evil. And if you look at the beginning of verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." It doesn't say, on the off chance that I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It says, even though I do. And one of the things that I think is a big misconception about Christianity is that people go there so that they don't have to face any trials at all. And if anything, it's the exact opposite. Like, we are promised suffering in this life. We are promised hard circumstances. But the thing that continues to give me rest, even knowing that, is the fact that we have a Savior who has gone through even greater trials than any of us will ever experience in our entire lives, but did it without sinning and did it with pure joy. If you look at John 16:33, it says, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus knows that we're going to face those trials as we go through everyday life, but we can have confidence that our Savior has gone through the same things that we have and even greater too. And that's said again in Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And if anything, that should just continue to give you guys confidence that regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what we're going through, we can find strength and comfort in our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, because he has gone through the same temptations that we go through on a daily basis, but did that without sinning and can give us that confidence. And for me, what that's looked like going through that valley of the shadow of death, I've experienced traumatic accidents, family members dying, my parents getting divorced, struggles fitting in, and even not knowing where to place my identity. And I know a lot of you in this room have gone through very similar things, if not the exact same things that I've gone through. And I can promise you, the moments that I've gone through, those times when I ran away from God, those were filled with restless nights, not knowing what to do and where to run to. But in the moments where I was able to stop myself, pray, bring others in, it just gave a confidence and a reassurance and rest that could not be found in anything of the world. And so with that being said, that leads me into my last point. God establishes our steps. And when you look at the end of verse 4, it says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And there's an author of a book on Psalm 23 that was written by an actual shepherd. And when he talks about the staff that a shepherd has, he talks about how it not only guides the sheep to the right places, but also corrects them when they're in the wrong places. And so it's important to realize, just like I was talking about in that first point, we as sheep, we're going to go off the beaten path. We're going to do things that don't honor God. But we have the Holy Spirit within us whenever we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts that convicts us in those moments and that can lead us down the path that God has established for us. And it goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God has established a path for our entire lives. It's full of goodness because of Christ's steadfast love and mercy. And we can walk in faithful expectance every single day of our lives that the Lord has something good for us at the end of the road. And David keeps going. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we find our true delight in God, when we get to experience that fullness of joy, nobody can take that away from us. Not even our worst enemies, the people who are constantly looking down upon us. Because of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we have confidence in our salvation, and the Holy Spirit spurs us on to continue to tell people of that good news. And that it continues to be said in Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David had this confidence with him when he talks about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And we can experience something even greater than David got to. David's confidence was that the Lord would continue to be with him all of his days, but we can have an even greater confidence knowing that when we truly give our lives to the Lord, we will be in heaven one day. So I just ask the question, do you have this confidence? Do you have the confidence that you will be in heaven one day and that you will get to be with God? And so if you haven't been listening, if you've been tuned out, looking at your phone, talking to your buddies, I just ask that you look up here, give me your eyes, give me your ears, just 1 to 2 minutes. That's all I'm asking for right now. So, going back through those points, and before we do that, I'm just going to ask that question again. When you are going through trials and suffering, how do we find rest? What does it look like to find rest in the midst of hard circumstances? So, like we were saying, true rest is found in the Lord. Whether in the highest of highs or the lowest of lows, regardless of your circumstances, the Lord is with us at all times and can give us the comfort and strength to live a life that proclaims his name. We as humans do not always know what's best for us. That's why we're human, and we need a shepherd that is going to lead us down that right path. And we know that we have a confidence in the Lord that can give us rest in those moments, regardless of our circumstances. 2, even though we go through those hard times, we can still experience comfort and strength when we seek out the Lord in those hard moments. He is where we will find that true rest. And the last one, the Lord establishes our steps, and he desires for us to experience the eternal joy that he has already laid out for us. When we understand that we have a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who created us in his image, died a death that he didn't deserve, and that he desires to have a relationship with us, we have confidence that we will be in heaven forever with Christ. And so I'd ask the question again, do you have that confidence? If you have that confidence that you will be in heaven one day, that's awesome. I would encourage you to continue to tell the people around you about that confidence that you have. It can be friends, classmates, family. Tell them about the confidence that you have, because that will continue to be a testament of the Lord's faithfulness in your life and hopefully in theirs. And if you don't have that confidence, that's okay. There's plenty of time for you to continue to learn and grow in that understanding. I have confidence that each of the leaders in this room have a confidence that they will be in heaven one day. And so if you don't have that confidence and you're curious, just talk to them. Even talk to one of your classmates or friends that are in this room that you know have that confidence. It could even be a parent. But I promise you that the confidence they will speak with is the same that I'm able to speak with because of texts like this, that we will be able to truly find rest regardless of our circumstances. So yeah, I'm going to pray, and then we'll have some announcements after that. But yeah, that's all I have. Hey, God, thank you for today. Thank you for just being our good shepherd who leads us and guides us every day of our lives. Thank you for desiring to have a personal relationship with us, so that we can find strength and comfort regardless of our circumstances. I pray that as we walk from this place, as we go to our small groups, that we would just continue to be curious about who you are and what you've done for us truly. And I pray that each person in this room would have that confidence that they will be in heaven forever because you are with us and you desire to have a personal relationship with us. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.